Praise be to God. Hallelujah. God is good. He's good. You know, I just want to tell you how precious you are. You know? And, you know, it's just, you know, I really want to encourage you to keep not to give up. Not to give up. Right? And it's, you know, a while ago the Lord had us preaching on claiming our inheritance, preaching the power of our words, and knowing that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Okay? So I'm just gonna give thanks to God. And if you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you want to win but think you can't, it's almost a cinch that you won't. If you think you'll lose, you've lost. For out in the world we find that a success begins with a fella's will, and it's all in a state of mind. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or later the man who wins is the one who thinks he can. Amen. And that lovely little poem is about, you know, the power of positive thinking. You know, now, you know, in the world, you know, they do a lot of business conferences and things on power thinking, power this, power that, you know. But you know what I'm saying? That when we have the word of God, that is power. Dunamis. It's dunamis, the word is. It's dunamis. Because the word is living entity. And so, you know, we have to be careful of what we speak. In the world, you can have liberty. There's all kinds of rubbish comes out of your mouth. Most people speak without thinking. And I used to be, you know, I've been as guilty of that as anybody. And that, anyway, we're not going there with my language. And, you know, to say, explain that I was effing and jeffing fluently was like my version of speaking in tongues, you know. It was like, you know, it was like there was nothing clear about it. It was just, that was me lateral lingo. And God got a hold of me tongue, you know. And it needed getting ahead of. Boy, did it. And that was actually was one of the first things I noticed that went after he came through the bedroom ceiling and frightened the life out of us. And I'm only being facetious, Lord. You don't mind because I'm your friend. But he came through that ceiling and I was born again. And suddenly I didn't want to take drugs anymore. Suddenly I didn't want to, like, I didn't want to drink anymore. I didn't want, you know, all kinds of things left us. And one of the things I noticed, I wasn't swearing anymore. You know, and we know the power of our words. And Proverbs 18:21 says that life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they who indulge in it, it says, you know, in the Amplified Bible, it's a little bit, you know, more. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it. And then it's got in brackets, for death or for life. You can speak death upon yourself. You can speak sickness upon yourself. You know, and this is what we've got to be careful of. Because we grow up in a culture that is, you know, I mean, Tyneside's terrible. I mean, it really is. And it's always been this way. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, I'm not saying it's not bad in other parts of the country, because it is. You know, you go to Manchester or Birmingham or whatever in that city area. You know, I'm not just the inner city areas, it's everywhere. You know, and the thing is that, you know, it's like when John Wesley came to Newcastle, he said, we came in his diaries, he puts, when we came to Newcastle about six, after refreshments, we walked into town and I was surprised so much drunkenness, cursing, swearing, even out of the mouths of little babes and children. Never have I seen so much in a short space of time. Surely this place is ripe for him who came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, in the word, you know, throughout the Bible, you'll see many, many references to the tongue. In James chapter 3, it says, the tongue is like a wild horse. In fact, we're going to read from that in a minute. And, you know, it's like we've got to be careful and understand that out of the mouth, it says we're created in the image of God, doesn't it? Now, out of our mouth, right? Now, out of the mouth, God created. Creation. 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 So, you know, it's like we have to be careful of the words that we utter, because our words can condemn us. And it says that we will be judged on the words that we give. There is no idle words. We'll be judged on those things, you know. You know, it says that God will judge you on your words. On your words spoken. So this is, there's a reference in here that we have to be careful about how we treat people and how we treat each other. Now, we can all fall short, which we all have done. But, you know, and at times it's learning, you know, like the to speak a blessing over people. And I just want to, if we can look in the book of James, chapter 3. I'm just going to read a little bit out of it. And it's something that we'll have to learn to do, because every other word is F and Jeff, where I came from. Right? It was just, that was just the way it is. And God, you know, is changed, you know. So I'm looking at James chapter, what on? Right, well, there you go. Maybe this is for you, so. So, especially for Sue Ferguson. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 3:1-13. And my brethren, listen, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Thanks, beloved. We all stumble at many things. If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn our whole body. Look also at ships, even though they are so large, they are driven by fierce winds, and they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is like a little member and boasts great things. See how a great a forest of fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. Hear what's saying here? Defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our nature, and is set on fire by hell. You know, it's like the tongue can, this is warning. For every kind of beast and bird, a reptile of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives and grapes and bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. I'm just going to carry on a little bit. But if you have a bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. The wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And the word of God says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. It's no good calling yourself a Christian and a follower of Jesus if you act more like Satan on a Monday. Right? This is not a Sunday night performance. It's day by day. Where we have to learn to walk by the Spirit, not by the flesh. It says, if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So, and you know, the more time you spend in the Spirit, the less prone you are to come out, you know. And, I mean, there's plenty of stuff in there. But I want to just not speak, this is not just a negative word about saying don't swear, which I could sum up in 30 seconds, right? It's a word about speaking positivity. Because you can speak negativity, but it's positivity. How do you speak to your spouse? Do you have to put yourself in check? Because I do every now and then. And she does every, my beloved does every now and then as well. Because, you know, we're caught up in life, and if we're not, you know, spirit-filled, then this is the real world. But we are called to be separated from the world. It says we are citizens of heaven. So it's really working on it. And if you have a problem with it, I remember Joyce Meyer talking about this. Dave Meyer, for 20-odd years, used to go in the toilet and cry. Lord, why have I got this woman? You know, which is Joyce Meyer. This is the, you know, who's got the biggest television ministry in the world. Amazing teacher, Joyce. We love Joyce, and that fantastic, you know. But for years, she was full of arrogance. She was, you know, she was bossy. She was, you know, wanted to, you know. Dave Meyer had a hell of a life for her. You know, and he said he would just go and sit in the toilet and cry. And it was like, and eventually God changed her. Transformed her, you know. And look, you know, what a fantastic, awesome job. What a trophy of grace she is. Fantastic, you know. And she's able to reach. So it's like, no good pretending you know. And the thing about Joyce is, I love her. She's so open and honest about things and that, you know. And I've always tried to do the same, because I don't paint myself as some, you know, holy, you know, super spiritual, because I'm not. I'm being changed by, I'm a work in progress, so God is changing. Amen. And like Arthur says, thank God I'm not where I used to be. I may not be where I want to be. I'm on the journey. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, working my way towards it. But we have to do work on ourselves. And sometimes you've got to catch yourself, don't you? You know, I mean, I've really been working on myself in the car. So I'm not hanging out the room, the screaming at people. It's like, you know, I'm ready to chew them up. And, you know, it's like, I'm not chasing in the car. And, you know, I'm not sort of going doing that. You know, it's like, bless you, brother. And I feel the peace of God when I, you know, when you just put yourself in check, don't you? Because you're just about to use, thank you, Lord. Amen. And Joyce Meyer says, you know, you could be in the biggest row with your husband and spouse, couldn't you? You know, like Father Ted. Remember, anybody watch Father Ted? You remember the couple? They were always stabbing each other and everything. And then the priest would be, oh, hello, Father. Hello, Father, how are you? You know, and it would be like, and then the minute his back was turned, you know, it was, you know, stuck into it, you know. And that, you know, and it's like, well, I just can't control myself. You know, I just can't control myself. You know, and you hear that out of people and that, you know. And it's like, you know, it was like, you know, if, like Joyce was saying in that thing where she's saying that, she says, you can control yourself, because if I come and knocked on your door, in the midst of your thing, it would be, oh, Sister Joyce, you know, wouldn't it? And then, you know, and it's like, don't see, you know. But we have to discipline ourselves at times. If we spend time in the Spirit, we're going to be less grumpy. We're spending time with Jesus. And if you have difficulty with this, God wants to help you with it. So the people will know we're different. It's like, you know, I find it difficult. Like at times, like when I got in the jail, and I've seen people who I've grew up with all my life and that, you know, and I'm hearing the crack, and I didn't really want to hear it, and I'm not the same anymore. Amen. And I feel like a fish out of water. Amen. You know what I mean? Amen. It's just like, because that's the change that God has done within us. You know, we want an inheritance. Remember, we have a positive thing, a positive voice, you know. And, you know, As we see, and tell people that all through our lives, we can get labels on me. You know, I was reading my school report the other day. When I was reading, it was the only good one I ever had in my life. And it was when I left junior school. And they said, oh, well, we'll miss him. What a happy, lovely little boy, and all this. I was like, nearly in tears with it, you know. Because everyone after that was like downhill from there. And that, you know, I was really bad, you know, and all through my life collecting labels and that's the way you are. At times people put you down, you go out into the world, you know, we live in a cruel world, And if God has got his hand on you, which he has, because you wouldn't be here if you weren't. John 15 says that if you have the world would love you as its own, yet because I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you and will target you. And you maybe is wondering, like thinking, I'm having a rough deal here. What have I done wrong? Every time, everything, nothing works out. This is happening, that's happening. Oh, well, why is this always me? Why is it always people going through life? And beloved, I want to tell you now, it's because you're a child of God and he loves you. And it doesn't matter what the teacher thought. It doesn't matter what the other kids in the class said.
That's right.
It doesn't matter. Because that's where the strongholds start.
Amen.
You know, it's like, and now, like, you know, we're living in this climate, like, it's just, like, unreal. You know, the stuff that's coming out into the papers every week.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it's just, like, shocking, you know. You know, all of these revelations about Jimmy Savile, about Leonard Rossiter, Freddie Starr, all these people coming out time and time and time again. Schools, etc. You know, no wonder people in the nation is such a mess and half the country's on Valium. But Jesus is the answer. He breaks it. He breaks the yokes of bondage. The power's in the cross to break that. How do I know? Because he broke drug addiction over me. I was snorting enough cocaine to kill an elephant, man. Every day I couldn't get out of bed. And I was on the joints all day long. You know, like, all day long. I was wandering around. If I had God not had a call on my life, I would be dead.
Amen, amen.
I, you know, I'd be purely to snort little lines of cocaine. I was walking around with a bag up my nose. My brain was rotting away with all the coke I was taking, man. And, you know, it was because but God came and said, I can do something with that. Because you're a broken vessel, Davey, but I can do something with you.
Amen.
I can do something with you.
Amen.
You know, and it's like the power of the cross. And all my life, people have labeled this with horrendous things. And when I sat with Jesus, and he said, I love you.
Amen.
And he kept saying, I love you. And it took us 9 months of listening to Jesus say, I love you, before I could say, I love you, Lord, and I forgive myself. And because I was in such a state when I came to Jesus, that there was no doctor, no hospital, no psychiatrist, no church could sort us out. That I had to spend time with the living God, with Jesus, which he came to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And, you know, he started, you know, changes and tell us he loved us and encouraged us. And, you know, at the end of the day, that when you start to see people through the eyes of God and you see how precious you are, how you've been scarred by life, and we grow up with insecurities. I mean, maybe you grew up in a nice home, I don't know, but, you know, maybe you grew up with telling people you love you. If you did, you are lucky. You are blessed.
Amen.
You are blessed. But when you grow up in a different kind of way, and everybody you love gets taken away from you, or the people that you're meant to trust turn around and abuse you, I do those things and that. And you grow up in that way. And then to find, I'm going to share this. Can I share that, Lord? And like, you know, there was one time in that, you know, I remember I just lost my granddad, my uncle, who I was really close to, my other granddad, and I lost my adopted mother in the space of 18 months. Right? Everybody, apart from my dad and my sister got took into care for a little while to be looked after. Everybody I love was taken away. My dad hit the bottle, became angry. The one person that I was, you know, this is my adopted dad, the one person that I loved and trusted, he lost his faith. He joined the Masons. He became an alcoholic. And I remember one day, I was only about 6 or 7, and there was just that sense of abandonment. And I remember just sitting, and it was funny, I used to go on the toilet and just sit on, on a toilet, and I broke my heart. And I thought, there's nobody, everybody's gone, you know? Everybody's gone, everybody's left, everybody. And I sat and I broke my heart. And while I was sat there, I heard a voice say to us, Davy, I love you. I love you. And it was the voice of God. And I'm telling somebody tonight, Jesus says, I love you. Jesus says, I love you. And he wants to change us. And he wants to bless us. And he wants to take away our pain and our suffering. And those labels that people have put on you. And we've got to learn to speak positively, not only to each other, but everyone we meet. Amen. And sometimes people, you come across people, angry, violent, hurting people, and you don't know why they're there, because you don't know what they've been through. You don't know where they've been to. I remember, just briefly, you may have heard this before, some of you won't, but I was in Rochdale at a feeding centre, homeless centre in Rochdale, giving me testimony. There was all these homeless guys there, about 60 guys in the room. And one little old man who was really angry and violent, really, you know, and all the guys were saying, keep away from him, these are homeless guys. And this guy, stocky guy, like growling at everybody and rah rah. And the Lord said, David, go and give him a hug. Right? And if you'd seen this guy in there, it was the last thing you would have wanted to do. And the Lord said, David, go and give him a hug. And so, I mean, stinking to the high heavens. He was, I was just, ready. And I just went up and I said, yeah, mate, come here, you. And he was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I just said, come here, Jesus loves you. And I just gave him a hug and I didn't let go. And I didn't let go and he was astounded. I remember his face just like looking at us like shocked. And I said, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And he started to weep. And I watched a transformation right in front of my eyes. Of this gnarled, twisted face, like a demonic mask, change into the most beautiful, shining face you've ever seen in your life. And as I stood and gave him the love of Jesus and hugged him, right, what I didn't know, and I got found out later, was the reason he was in so much pain. Because he had cancerous tumours all over his body. And the pain was unbearable. But as I stood and hugged him and showed him the love of Jesus, every single one of those tumours was healed. And as I prayed and loved him, the cancer came out of his body. And it's like, the love, the anointing that God gives us. When we do that to the unlovable people, the people, when we reach out to the, there's an anointing, an empowering, an equipping that God wants to put on you. We've got to carry love to the world. Not judgment, not condemnation. If anybody was due for condemnation, it was me. But when I met Jesus, I didn't get condemnation. I met love. And he said, go and do likewise. We've got to be really careful. And that God is about to move on us. And he is. I'm telling you, awesome. You watch the increase over the next couple of months. What God is doing. Just watch it. And I want to tell you, you've been called to reflect Jesus. We are called to reflect Jesus, And that's somewhere just at the beginning of our journey, so don't let this, but somewhere a bit further on, What would Jesus do? Everybody walks around. What would Jesus do? Badges, stickers, wristbands. What would What would Jesus do? And we have to do likewise. Because we are called to be witnesses. And we're called, you know, to carry his love. And that, you know. And, you know, sometimes, so we have to speak blessings over our kids continually. You know, it's like encouragement, even when we feel like pulling my hair out. You know, I shared last year about the guy at the garage. I went to buy a Jeep. Me and Kath went down to his garage at Seaton Delaval. And it was, the young lad, he was like, the guy who was selling, who owned the garage, was going on holiday that day. And so his young son was at the garage with him. And the son was just about 10, 12 years old. But he was like hyper, jumping all over the place. And you know, his dad, he was just totally hyper, this little kid. And he kept tripping up, and he kept falling over, and he kept like making mistakes, and that, you know. And the father kept laughing. And he said, oh, he's hopeless. Everywhere we're gone, he's falling over, tripping over. He's an accident prone, and all this sort of thing and that. And I thought, poor Ben, you know. And he said, last year we went on holiday, he fell under a tram. The year before, this happened and that happened. And, you know, and I thought, you know, and they wonder. And he was speaking. He says, everywhere he goes, he has accidents. What's he doing? He's cursing his own son. And the laddie was falling all over the place in our Latin. And I thought, you know, and it's like, we have to speak blessings over our kids. We have to speak good, that, you know, over our wives, our husbands, our marriages, whatever. That, yes, I have a good husband. Yes, I have a good wife. Not both at the same time, like, you know. I mean, but you know, I mean, generally, I'm talking to you, like, you know, like, I have a good... I'm thinking of myself a pit, yeah, like, on. I have a good wife. I have good children. My wife's asleep. I pray over her. I pray over my wife when she's asleep. I kind of do now, but she keeps us awake when I'm snoring. Sorry, I couldn't resist that one. But no, I spend all my time. Yeah. Aye, of course. That's right. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's love in action. It is, Tony. It is. That's right. It's putting your love in action. Dreadful, Danny. Right. Put your love in action. Reflect Jesus. Not just in thoughts, in words, but in speaking that blessing, calling those things that be not as though they are. So what it is to get into the positive things, right? Okay, there's lots of negatives. We know the negatives, but it's speaking that blessing over yourself. I'm a winner. What does the Word of God say? I'm a winner. Amen? Let us celebrate each other. Celebrate people. Celebrate each other for who you are. I celebrate Arthur. He's a man of God. I celebrate Jim. I celebrate Vince. And that's the attitude that we've got to have. It's no good coming in and starting like picking and pulling people to bits and all that. You want to, you know, Jesus doesn't give them a put-on, he's giving them a lift up. Amen. And you know, it's, you're wanting people to achieve and do great things. And that's what God's wanting for us. And it says in Romans 8:27, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. Conquering over drug addiction, alcohol addiction, you know, cigarette addiction, chocolate addiction. You know, it's like everybody laughs when I see a chocolate addiction, but I mean, you know. It's like, you know, and it's a real addiction. Television can be, pornography's an addiction. You know, like sort of. Whoa, give a round of applause. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's like, you know, it's like, it's a thing, but people get addicted to things. But God says in all these things we are more than conquerors. And God is called you because he loves you. That you're a star. You're special. And you know, and that's what you should need to be speaking over each other. You're a blessing. You're a winner. You're an overcomer. You're holy. You're righteous. What does the word say? The word says you're righteous. Hallelujah. When you become, what happens when you become with Jesus? You become what? A joint heir to the throne. That's not some glib idea, sort of like some far-fetched fantasy. That's what the Word of God views you as an heir with Jesus. A royal, you know, a member of the royal household. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? Now, I'm going to add this little tail onto that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not me. That doesn't say I can do anything I want to, and God will bless us and strengthen us, and anoint us for it. If you're doing stuff within God's will, then he's going to strengthen you for it, and equip you for it in every good work. So I mean, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. I'm a winner. I'm a new creation. And that, you know, so speak those things over each other. It's something we've got to keep practicing, doing and doing and doing. That, you know, that as we encourage somebody, as we, you know, it doesn't matter what you personally think at times. Don't judge a book by its cover. You know, you judge a book by its color. You know, and it's like, I mean, you know, a classic case. It's like, oh no, I'm not going to use that, Lord. No. Amen. So, for that, I just thank you. But, you know, sometimes you can get the wrong idea about people. Like, you know, I can do it. One of my friends who's a very successful minister in God and who has got masses of fruit to see, well, if you saw him and heard him, you'd think he's up his rocker, him. He's like, how, you know, he's so much outlandish and in your face, it's unbelievable. But the man has got so much fruit. It's unbelievable. And that, you know what I mean? And so we cannot judge a book by the cover. I'll tell you what happened. Have you read my book? You know, one time I was in Sri Lanka, right? And I'd just come back. And I was just round about the time of tsunami. And I'd been baptising all the students out of the rehab and that. And on the way back, I mean, it was 40 degrees and that, you know. And it's, you know, tropical and that, you know. So I'm sitting in the airport and well, coming through the airport, and I've got my vest on and that. Well, I've got one or two tats and that, you know, as you can see. So like, I'm coming through the airport and I'm looking, I'm really hot being Douglas, you know. And I see the airport's got a room for clergy, you see. So I went into the clergy room being an ordained minister, even though I had the vest on and the shorts on. I went and sat in the room, and there was this couple in there, English couple, and they took one look at me and she went, I'm sorry, this is only for clergy. You know, I thought, I said, excuse me, madam, but I am clergy. And she looked this up and doing again, she went, you're not clergy. I went, what? I was like, I said, well, actually, I am clergy, you know. No, you're not. And this, you can't come in here, this is for clergy only. I went, all right, Douglas, give us me bag, give us me, gets me cards out, and my cards were ever in, you know. Oh, shocked, you know, shocked. You know, like, you know, and I said, by the way, are you clergy? And she was like, I said, are you clergy? And she went, well, actually, and the husband turned around and said, see, I told you, look at the mess you've got, Wendy. You know what I mean? If you'd only just shut up. And I said, get out. You know what I mean? Honestly, right? You know, do not judge a book by its cover. You know, like, this man, you know, and it says, if you show the love of God, you can entertain angels. You may have entertained angels. And that, you know. Sometimes, you know, like, it was things like, you know, when those early days, you know, when you first get saved and you're hype, or, you know, your radar's on full flavour, real deal, you know, full flavour. And it's like, you know, you see somebody with a stop car, you're pulling up alongside and saying, do you need a hand? And that, you know, like, it's like, you know, and it's like that, having your first joy. Amen. Because, and it's asking God to keep renewing your joy, keep renewing you. So, you know, so that you're topped up. It says in the word, if you lack any, ask God and he'll fill the lack. So he'll put within you those things, you know. But, beloved, the most important thing is self-condemnation. People do not like themselves. And this is one of the big problems. You might like not like yourself, you know. And it's like, you know, I had a hard time with myself, you know, obviously. I used to beat myself up for the things I've done continually. And the devil used to, I was kind of 50-50. Ah, oh, now what you're like, what about this, what about that, what about... You know, and part of our transformation comes through the renewing of our minds, the renewing of our thinking, but also renewing of our mouths, of our tongues. The tongue is cursed. What do you think? The first thing Isaiah, the prophet, when he's up there in the... You know, and he sees heaven, he's in the throne room. The first thing the angel does is bring a hot coal and sticks it on his mouth. Woe to me, I am a man of unclean lips, living in a perverse generation. The first thing hit the tongue, loosed it. So what I want to say is this, like, speaking positivity, calling those things that be not as though they are. You know, I mean, I'm going to be hitting on miracles next week. Lord, I'm going to be teaching on miracles, some outstanding stuff. But the thing is that, you know, that the more that you start speaking out these things, then the reality is seeing them in action. But your faith levels have to touch and be prepared, and you have to believe what you're doing. And as you speak out those things, calling those things to be not as though they are, you can, you know, it's like Jenny coming to me and saying, Davey, my foot fell off on the way to church. Right? It's just like hobbling along with my foot on. Well, I'm going to say, Jenny, by faith, that foot is there, and I'm calling it out of heaven right now, and I'm praying it and praying it and praying it and praying it and praying it, and I believe God, I'm accessing that, and I believe by the time you walk with the air, you're going out with a new foot. How do I know this? Smith Wigglesworth did it. If God will do it for Smith Wigglesworth. In Smith Wigglesworth, people taught him like he was some, you know, and thank God for him. But, you know, he was not an educated man. He was a plumber from Bradford. A plumber. You know what I mean? He wasn't really educated. Yet this man raised 15 men from the dead. And he did some of the most outstanding miracles because he loved the Lord and he was in the Word. And he walked a one-legged man, a man who had been cut off from his knee down over, into a shoe shop, and he bought him a pair of shoes. This is a man who had one foot, and he was cut out from his knee off like that. So it was like Treasure Island, you know. Long John, you know. He walks him into the shoe shop, and he buys him a pair of shoes. So the man looks confused. And saying, pair of shoes, one, one leg, you know. Why are you buying us a pair of shoes? And but what happened is Smith Wigglesworth started to pray for him. And what happened was, in that shoe shop, the stump grew, an ankle grew, and a foot grew. And the man walked out of the shop with two shoes on his feet. with God, all things are possible. Right, now, so what it is God is changing our perspective. Your new spiritual man, Vince, can raise the dead. Your spiritual man can do all these wonderful things that God has. You know, now as you water your spirit, as you feed your spirit on the word, as you get filled in your spirit and continue to walk in that, then your way of thinking changes, because you start thinking with your spirit and not your carnal mind. Your carnal mind is enmity to God. The word of God says that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So you've got to work on your spirit till you get what you call a spiritual transfer, so that you're living in your spirit, not in your fleshy mind. Do you know what I mean? Eh? That's what God is wanting. So, and the more you live in the spirit, the more these things become easier and accessible. So that's why God is trying to bring you to renew your mind, to renew your thinking, and to get you to start living in your spirit and not your flesh body. And that's it. And that takes time to transfer. One, you know, but if you're spending your time with the Lord, putting your time in, then these things will happen. And God has made you a winner. He wanted man to rule. He didn't want Satan to rule. He doesn't want your flesh ruling over you. He doesn't want your feelings ruling over you. Right? And so, when you start to issue everything with your tongue, your newly recreated tongue, and you start issuing the word of God in any, then it's got to, you know, it'll bear fruit. Is this blessing anybody? Is it encouraging you? Because why? Because you're a winner. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're a winner. You're an overcomer. In the scripture, there is a scripture for every situation. Which every situation you find yourself in, God has given you a scripture. Why should I say I can't when the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Philippians 4:13. Why should my needs not be met, knowing that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus? Philippians 4:19. Why should I fear when the Bible says God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why should I doubt or lack faith, knowing that God has allotted to each a measure of faith? Romans 12:3. So God has allotted you a measure of faith. Maybe it's a little bit, maybe it's a bit, but as you go on, it gets bigger and larger. Thank you, Lord. More gas, more petrol in the tank. Why am I weak when the Bible says the Lord is the strength of my life? Are you putting your trust in yourself, or are you putting your trust in God? Because I know who's the stronger. And God doesn't want you to rely on your own strength, physical things, you know, I mean, obviously. But he's wanting you to put your trust in him. To cast your cares on him, to cast your burdens on him. Why should I allow Satan to have supremacy over my life? For greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. You have the awesome power of God on the inside of you. Right now, how is your life being oppressed in any kind of way? Is the devil crushing you? Is he pressuring you? Because you have a power inside of you that can overpower him. And he will keep trying to overpower you until you give him a damn good beating. And a beating that he doesn't want to come back for. You start using your power and your authority at him, he don't like it. You know what he is? He's a coward. He's been a coward from the beginning. He attacks the weak, the vulnerable. But you know what it is when you, I have seen him run. I want to tell you, I have seen the devil run because he's frightened of Christ. He is terrified of Jesus. Terrified. And I saw it with my own eyes. I saw him running, and I saw from God. He just went. Pew, pew. He is terrified. And I want to say that you have power and authority inside of you. But if you don't know how to use it, the devil will try and crush you into the ground. It's rising up, taking the authority, stirring up the spirit inside of you. And then you overcoming him. Not evil overcoming you, but you overcoming evil with good. Overcoming evil with the power of the cross.
Amen.
There's power in the cross, power in the blood.
Amen.
God has provided for you every single need. Every single need. Why should I accept defeat when the Bible says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ? Why should I accept defeat when the Bible says, thanks be to God who always leads us in his triumph in Christ? God is wanting to lead you every single time, through every problem, through every trial, there is an answer. And God will help you overcome. He will not put you in something or some situation without there being an escape route. And I'm getting ready to close now. But God has made you a winner, an overcomer. And and it's like constantly telling yourself, loving yourself as well, forgiving yourself, enjoying yourself, celebrating yourself. Look in the mirror. I'm unique. When God made me, broke the mold. Thanks be to God. When God made me, he broke the mold. Individually, we're unique. Special. Look in the mirror at yourself every morning and tell yourself how special you are and how Jesus loves you and how you are unique and how you are special. Why should I lack wisdom when Christ became to us? Christ became to us wisdom from God. God gives wisdom to all men generously and without reproach. James 1:5, to those who ask him for it. So if you maybe, I used to ask God for it a lot because I was thick as two short planks, you know. So it would be, Lord, I need a bit of wisdom here. Amen? I need a bit of wisdom here. And so if you go to God for wisdom and keep asking it and claiming it, he'll give you it. All things. Why should I be depressed when I can recall to my mind and therefore have hope that the Lord's loving kindness indeed never ceases, for his compassions never fail, and they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. New every morning. God's compassion is new every morning. There's a blessing for you every single day. Why should I worry and fret when I can cast all my anxiety upon Christ because he cares for me? 1 Peter 5:7. Why should I ever be in bondage? For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17, sorry. And it was for freedom that Christ has set me free. Amen. Freedom in Christ. Speaking positively over yourselves. Speak positively. Speaking continually. I'm a child of God. I'm accepted. I'm anointed. I'm empowered. I'm a new creation. Lay hands on your mind. Say, I have a good mind. I have a sound mind. I do not have a spirit of fear. It's a bit of a game of Simon Says, but it's Davy Says tonight. Davy Says, but it's not what I say, it's what Jesus says. Hallelujah. The word of God says, I have a good mind and a sound mind. Stuart has a good mind and a sound mind. Hallelujah. But you see, and the other thing is that if you have sicknesses in your body as well, you should lay your hands on them and say, I don't care if it's falling out of your body, I don't care if your kidney's falling out or your liver's falling out or whatever, but lay on your hands and say, Father, by power of faith in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I thank you that my kidneys are blessed. I thank you that my liver is blessed. My heart is blessed. Thank you, Lord, that I have no sickness in my body. Thank you, Lord, I have a good mind, a sound mind. Thank you that my mind is sharp, my mind is clear. You know, and it's like you're speaking those, dressing yourself in faith. So it's keep doing it. Because what hasn't? Why? What are we doing? We're agreeing with what the Word of God says. And the Word of God, when God spoke, it happened. When God said, let there be light, there was light. So reminding yourself, you're made in the image of God. Jesus said, John 14:12, what I do, you will do also. Amen. Hallelujah.